Hi, I'm Chris Ryan, member of the ALG Employment Practice Group. I'm joined today by my colleague and fellow senior associate, Emma Murphy.
Hi, Chris.
Today, we're going to look at the topic of performance management, including how to manage or performance manage an employee who's on their probation period, how to performance manage an employee who's just completed their probation period and who has less than 12 months service. And finally, we're going to take a look at the additional considerations when performance managing an employee who's obtained or accrued 12 months service. So, Emer, performance management and in particular performance improvement plans, these are two topics that our clients are constantly asking for advice on. And from speaking to them, it's clear that there's a real reluctance on the part of employers to sit down and have these tricky conversations with employees. And naturally so, it can be tough enough to sit down across the table and tell someone, look, you're not performing, you're not at the standard we'd expect you to be. And what's interesting is there seems to be this perception that performance management only really arises for more junior or new hires. Mm-hmm. But in reality, we see this often throughout the business, and that could be up with the more seasoned and experienced employees as well. But here's the thing, and what people don't really realise, mm-hmm. is that performance management can be a great way to get the best out of people, and particularly performance improvement plans, it can be really good for getting real specific results. And conversely to that, what people maybe don't always realise is if not handled correctly, it can cause issues and it can even land you before the WRC if you're not careful.
That's exactly it, Chris. I mean, without a doubt, it's one of those areas where a good knowledge of what you can and cannot do, mm-hmm. and when to, yep. start it can make a world of difference and save you a lot of pain further, mm-hmm. down the line. I think we all have war stories where performance has been managed poorly, mm-hmm. and it's led to difficulties. Equally, we've also got cases where performance has been managed really well and, mm-hmm. it's been done tightly, and it's helped the business achieve certain goals. I think what we'd like people to take away from this is that it's not something to be scared of, mm-hmm. that it can be a relatively simple process, and it's just all about doing it well.
So, Emer, employers will come to us and they'll say, look, we hire the best people, we train them up, why can't we just leave them get on with it? Why is performance management such a big deal in practice?
Look, hiring and training the staff, I mean, that's only half of it. Ultimately, you want to get somebody into the role who's going to do it well and achieve the results for, mm-hmm. the business. And performance management helps a business set those goals. Mm-hmm. It lets everybody know what's expected of them. It helps the business plan going, mm-hmm. forward. And more importantly, it helps the business to succeed. It also means if you will spot any issues early, and then you can address those before they become, mm-hmm. really hard to solve problems.
So it's not about being the big bad boss here. It's about setting out what good looks like and almost setting out what the expected standard is.
Absolutely. And I think in particular, it's that your staff and, mm-hmm. then your management will understand what's expected of employees. And, mm-hmm. then if that's not achieved, how they can get that expectation up to where it should be, or if it's not getting there, what they can do next.
Okay, so Emer, when it comes to performance management and the end of the probation period, I find that the end of the probation period really sneaks up on employers. It'll get to the 5 months of a 6 month probation period. The employer will almost realise that the employee is not performing at the standard they would expect them to be, and they'll call us up. They'll be frantic. They'll be asking, what can we do? How do we handle this?
Yeah, we see this happen all the, mm. time, and the time gets away from people. I suppose as a reminder, there's a statutory limit on probation periods, so, mm-hmm. it's 6 months.
Yeah.
It's 12 months in the public sector. It can be extended under the statute, but it has to be in the interest of the employee and in exceptional circumstances. So it's going to be really unusual, generally, mm-hmm. that a probation is going to be extended. So you've got your 6 month time period. I mean, I had one recently where the client came to me and there was only 2 weeks left in the probation. The employee wasn't achieving, but they were still kind of on the fence as to whether they wanted to pass probation or stay on. We were in a bit of a rush to make a decision on that one. I mean, the main thing to remember is that probation's not a waiting game. Mm-hmm. It's a period that's been set in place for you to assess that employee, make sure they're a good fit for the role, yeah. they're a good fit for the business, and that they're going to be able to achieve what you need them to do. And you should be setting clear goals, so agreeing what you want from that employee, having short check-ins in the diary, heading off any issues early, and that gives you time to deal with them, and if necessary, mm-hmm. time to make a decision within the probationary period.
My mantra here is always a little and often, so I would tell employers to check in kind of every 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 8 weeks, and then maybe 12 weeks, nothing major, just like a short email asking, you know, how are you getting on? Are there any supports you need? That kind of thing.
Exactly. Say it early, say it plainly. Mm-hmm. No need for fanfare, no need for getting into, you know, creating difficulty where there doesn't need to be any. You know, here are some examples of the work where you've missed the mark. Here's some examples of what you want you to do. Here's some supports we're going to put in place. Look at, do you need to give them shadowing, training? What else might need to go on? And then whatever will actually help for them to achieve what's needed for the business.
And I'd always recommend that employer, they write it down. So that could be a short email after the meeting, setting out, you know, this is what we discussed, that kind of thing, and scheduling a check-in for another couple of weeks. That's a great way, I find, to keep everyone honest as well. And if there are disputes down the line, which hopefully they're not, then you have a record and you can always refer back to those communications if needs be.
Exactly. Look, keep a good record and it'll also help you watch the time.
Yeah. So then, Emer, by month four, if issues are still persisting, that's when you flag it, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and for sure, if not earlier. So I think as soon as you know there's an issue, you should be flagging it and dealing with it then. It'll give you a lot more time and give the employee a lot more time to deal with it. And I think if you're monitoring them correctly, you know, it should be coming fairly apparent quite quickly if there is an ongoing issue and whether they're ever likely to achieve the performance necessary for the role.
And then, so when it comes to a probationary dismissal for competence or poor performance, what does that look like?
It should be a simple process. The Court of Appeal has upheld a number of years ago that for dismissal during probation on the grounds of performance, that it can be done without what we call fair procedures. So you don't need to go through a whole big long disciplinary process. Now, if there's a misconduct issue or if there's anything else going on there, you need to be looking at that and get advice. But when it's simple performance, you can do a very straightforward process. So what that will look like is, as soon as you've got any issues with the employee, you keep it tight, you keep it factual, you put them to them, you give them specific examples of how you say they haven't been achieving the performance, where they're missing targets, what targets they're missing, what you're going to do to assist them in trying to get there, and set the goals out for them. And then in a short time period, because you don't want this to drag on, you've got to be aware it's only 6 months that you've really got to assess them and do this process within, that you will keep them under assessment. Are they achieving those targets? And if those targets aren't met, that's where you're making a decision for an outcome as to, okay, is this person actually going to pass probation? And if not, bring them into a meeting, you let them know they haven't passed, and then you'll be confirming that in writing.
And then what's the timing of all of this then?
Sooner rather than later. So, I mean, don't run the clock down. You know, your 6 months isn't a target. You can do this before that. And, you know, if a probation extension is warranted, again, look at that sooner rather than later. Look at it earlier and put it in for a defined period and double check your contract, make sure it allows, because some people might only have a contract that allows for 6 months. If it's clear improvement isn't happening, really, that's when the decision needs to make a bit, or the business needs to make a decision, because ultimately they're going to have to hire somebody else into this role. And the longer you leave this go on, the longer everything's dragging out and the business is not getting what it needs from that particular person.
Absolutely. Okay, Emer, so let's take a look at when the employee has passed their probation period, they're working away, but they still don't have the 12-month service. Is it the same or similar story for performance management then?
So from an unfair dismissals perspective, the employee only gets protections once they're over the 12 months, but that's not a free pass. Okay, so there are exceptions to the 12 months. You've got equality, pregnancy, maybe if there's a whistleblowing. So make sure you have a look at that. And look, that should have happened during the probation period as well. And it's important that if there's flags of any of these, that you get advice. Stepping back from that then, otherwise, you will follow a very similar process to that during probation, but you will have more procedural steps involved in it. So you start with an informal chat. You know, here's what or ideal looks like, here's where you're not achieving it, here's what we think you're going to be able to do, here's some measurable goals for you to do within this certain time frame, and keep to continue to engage with them, look at what support you can put in place, and then again have an email so that you've got a trail in terms of like all these engagements with the employee. And then the timing of this will depend on their length of service.
And so let's say you want to flick the switch, you want to handle the employee who's not been performing. How do you commence that with kind of over-engineering the whole situation?
So you'd look at that as that you're going to formalize this informal process that you've already gone through. So you're not going to be doing a full, big, long performance improvement plan, but it is going to be a scenario where you're going to set some clear objectives for the employee. You'd set a short, structured plan, tell them what how the performance is going to be measured, again, what supports you're putting in place for them, what time frame certain things have to be achieved by, when you're going to be checking in, and keep checking in with them quickly. And then look, it'll depend on the role. So for example, for sales, you're going to know maybe quite quickly, because you might have targets that the person has to achieve that they're not getting there. Whether it's a project management, it might be something that takes a little bit longer, but set out a time frame that you're going to be looking at and when you want these goals to be done. And then either way, it's important that you make it clear that you're going to have weekly check-ins with them, and that you do have those check-ins, and that there's possible outcomes, or there may be an escalation at the end of this. So like, outcomes are either that you're going to achieve the targets and we're just going to keep working with you, or if you don't achieve the targets, that there may be an escalation or further steps.
Yeah, and I also find your tone is so important there, particularly where the employee doesn't have that 12-month service. So you want to avoid using kind of loaded phrases, keep things really neutral. So when you're communicating this to them, you want to say, look, if you don't hit your objectives, we're going to have to consider our alternatives.
Absolutely. And I mean, there's not just the equality whistleblowing and other issues that I flagged earlier that you need to tick off and make sure that they're not there. You also have to bear in mind that even though they're under 12-month service, an employee could potentially make a claim under the Industrial Relations Acts, and that would relate to the process that was followed leading up to their dismissal. So essentially, it's an unfair dismissal claim. So there is going to have to be some sort of process. And I think if targets haven't been met, what you do is you're relying on that short structure plan that you've already put in place. You would then close that out. That would lead to a meeting with the employee, but you give them an opportunity to have their say following that meeting, maybe give their opinions or their comments on the process that's been followed out. Take that away, then reach a decision. And if you're closing it, and if it's a case that you don't think they're going to be able to achieve performance, that's where you'd be possibly looking at termination.
So that's exactly what I find keeps the process steady, but also defensible. So it's so important that you have your clean notes, you're doing close coaching, regular communications and things like that. And be respectful to close it out either way.
Exactly. You know, formal where it's required, supportive throughout, and then you can like tailor the plan or the length of time depending on the length of service of the employee.
And with that, it's really important as well that you don't let this drift out to 11 months, you know, nearing that all important 12-month mark as well.
Precisely. Look, with all performance, it's action it quickly. Don't leave it lie there. It's not going to do anyone any favours.
So, Emer, we touched on performance management during probation and just after the employee's completed the probation. But once the employee accrues the 12-month service, this is kind of where things heat up a little bit and the stakes are a little bit higher.
Yeah, they heat up a bit. And it's a scenario where you've got to remember somebody who passes 12-month service in Ireland, they then have the additional protections under the Unfair Dismissals Acts. So competence to do the job is a fair reason for dismissal under the Unfair Dismissals Acts. But you've got to be able to stand over that decision, that an employer, that it was a reasonable decision to terminate on that basis. And that's going to be a long process. You will need to ensure that you've got a clear process set out. You've got solid reasons why there was no alternative to dismissal. So the conversation is a bit different and it's going to be much more structured. And for this person, you're saying to them that you want to try and get them to reach the standard. Can we show that we've taken all reasonable steps to support them in terms of getting there?
And quite often, employers, they'll only come to us after the employees achieved or accrued that all-important 12-month service. It's almost like that's when they only start to look at their performance then. They'll ask us, you know, how do we start this whole process?
Look, as soon as you know there's performance issues, you start the process. Ideally, there might have been some informal chats for this leading up to this, so it's on the employee's radar that there is a problem. If those haven't occurred, do them, and then do them relatively quickly. And then your next step following that, if there's still no improvement, is going to be going into a more formal plan for the employee to improve. So we call those a performance improvement plan or a PIP. So you don't just jump straight into a disciplinary. There is going to be a process with the employee where you've got a plan in place which sets out clear objective targets for them, which sets out how you're going to support them in terms of achieving those targets, how you're going to measure those targets, and then over what time frame they're going to have to achieve them. Because you want to be able to show that there's been non-performance over a period of time and that the actions taken by you as an employer have been reasonable. And also, look, for the business, you want this person to improve and to do the job that they're supposed to do. So I think you'd lay it out from there what that would look like. I mean, do have a consideration. Is there other things going on? Is there workload? Is there tools? Is there other things that might help? But if it's performance and you're happy it's performance, that you need to start that plan and get it in place.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. So this is almost like a reset conversation that you're having with the employee with a little bit more formality and structure. It's important as well. This is not a punishment for them. This is a roadmap for them to improve.
Exactly. Like, the whole point of this is to get the employee up to the standard, and that's the business ideal. Mm-hmm. I mean, if that happens, great. You know, nobody necessarily wants to be going down other routes. Mm-hmm. I think common pitfalls that we see is that there's the time frames are too short for the employee to improve. It does need to be reasonable. And then that there's not a separation out of the performance improvement plan and your disciplinary process. Mm-hmm. So your PIP ideally should be 6 to 9 weeks. This is not a hard or fast rule. Yeah. And it's a scenario that it's going to have to be looked at very much on an individual basis and based on the business needs. Mm-hmm. But it would set out your clear goals, your time frames, the supports. If the PIP doesn't lead to the level of improvement that was required, so if the person does achieve the targets, great. The PIP gets closed out. You continue to monitor them and they carry on working. If they don't achieve the targets required, you close out the PIP, but then that will then move into a disciplinary process where you will be looking at carrying out whether there's going to be a disciplinary sanction because the person has not passed that PIP. And then you'd move on into another PIP following that disciplinary process. So I think when you're starting the process, you want to be considering who is going to carry out that PIP, because whoever does the PIP is going to be a different person to who is carrying out the disciplinary if the PIP is not passed by the employee. And then again, if there's going to be an appeal to any disciplinary sanction, who's going to conduct that appeal? So have your plan in place before.
It's quite cyclical, the whole process. So first you have your PIP. If the employee fails that, you'll move on to disciplinary. Depending on how that goes, you'll go into first sanction and into appeal, and then repeat all those steps again.
Exactly. And I think the other thing to just bear in mind is if you do end up in a space where you're going through disciplinary and then a potential disciplinary sanction, it's going to be incremental.
Yeah.
So your first disciplinary will be the first disciplinary sanction that's within your policy. So go and have a look at your disciplinary policy, and then you're going back, do another PIP, then we're back into disciplinary and with the next sanction. So it does take a long time. Like, on average, you're saying 6 to 9 months for a good PIP process if ultimately we're going to end up in a scenario where the employee is terminated. And I think an employer needs to be able to stand over that there was no alternative to dismissal. They've done everything possible in order to help that employee achieve the targets necessary.
So, Emer, that leads us on to the elephant in the room. Employers, they'll come to us, they're about to either kick off a process or the process is ongoing. The employee will know the writing's on the wall for them. They'll know that potential sanction is coming down the tracks. They'll go to the employer and say, look, I don't want to go through this process. Is there an alternative? What about a package? My question to you is that possible? Is there a way to do this without torpedoing the fairness or the integrity of the PIP process?
Look, this comes up all the time. More often than not, it's brought up by the employee. I suppose if you think about it in light of the length of time that a PIP goes on and with everything that's involved in it, and then the perceived stress from the employee and having to go under a PIP, it's not surprising that you end up in practice having conversations about, like, what are the potential outcomes of this. I suppose if you're going to have those conversations, though, there need to be guardrails. And this is one where we were saying, get advice, always get advice on it. Any conversation is going to be on the record. They can be very tricky and they need to be approached really carefully. And I think, and they could be brought up into in any later dispute. So, like, you know, you've got to think ahead in case an agreement is not reached with the employee. And then any conversations should be separate from any PIP that's ongoing. And it'll need to be approached really carefully. And I mean, ideally, you know, there's going to have to be kind of some script or some thought put into exactly how you're going to engage with the employee on this. And it's going to be based on the facts of hand. And you not want to ensure that it's not cutting across any ongoing process that you have.
So the key takeaways from this are, it's a really delicate conversation that you're going to have. It needs to be carefully scripted, and separation is absolute key. And then from your perspective, what does true separation look like?
So you're going to keep it separate. So, for example, you know, if your PIP is being conducted by a manager, that manager is not the person who's going to be having these conversations with the employee. You know, you need to have like two kind of separate paths heading out. And it's really important that you keep them like nice and clean and away from each other. I mean, I did have one recently where the same manager who was conducting the PIP was then trying to have the conversations with the employee. And then there's the whole scenario there where you've got a huge risk of that contaminating your process, where if you don't reach an agreement, you're going to have difficulty standing over that potentially at a later point. So again, it can be tricky. And just even getting advice or getting a sense check at the outset about kind of the approach that you're going to take, it might save you a world of difficulty down the line.
Okay, so then when you reach an agreement, common practice is, or the general consensus is, that any agreement is going to be contingent on the employee A, signing up to a compromise agreement, and B, also taking legal advice on the terms of that agreement.
Yes, and look, that's really common. And like, whether that's going to be appropriate, what that looks like, it's all going to depend on the business, the employee, the actual factual circumstances of that particular scenario.
So then, just to finish up on this, let's say a client comes to you and they're about to kick off a PIP process. What are the absolute don'ts that you would tell them?
I think the key takeaways I'd like people to take from this is, you know, do triage it at the outset. Make sure there's nothing else going on and that it is performance that you're dealing with. And then I think once you're happy that it's performance, keep on top of it. Don't delay. Move everything on, like, not too swiftly, but it is something that, like, you're just delaying and dealing with it or ignoring the problem. You're not going to do anybody any favors. And I think then once you do get into a process, be clear, be concise, be transparent, and document everything really well. And I think then make sure that you're, like, engaging fairly with the employee, provide them with documentation in advance.
And I think your point on separation was absolutely spot on. I think it's so important that you're going to have one individual who's going to carry out the PIP process, another for the disciplinary process. And again, what's often overlooked is employers don't realise there needs to be a third person then to conduct an appeal if the employee lodges one.
Exactly.
Thanks, Emer. That was great.
Thank you, Chris.